How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. This is your episode for Tuesday, December 6th. Man, I'm still trying to figure out that Falcons game and why Matt Ryan decided to throw those two picks. Both of them seem to be ill-advised throws. But I do want to welcome Andrew Carter to join us today. Andrew, thank you for coming on.
Hey, no problem. Nice talking with you guys.
Little bit of a departure from television, right?
A little bit of a departure, yeah. You know, podcasts, you can keep it a little more real, I guess. You don't have to be the guy that stays in the middle. So no.
Hey, have an opinion. That's great.
Yeah, no. I'm not a robot right now. That's sweet.
Well, what was maybe the biggest takeaway for you, especially for, with your perspective from knowing that the press releases from the team and kind of a different view? What's the big thing that you walk out of that game with?
I just think I was really impressed with the way they came out and played, especially after that emotional win in Denver and knowing that the Raiders game was coming up. It was really one of those games. If you were going to point out a trap game, I know people were like, well, that Tampa game was the trap game, I guess. But I would have pointed the Atlanta game on the schedule from day one just because of it being sandwiched in between the Denver and Raiders games. So I was just impressed that Andy Reid not only had those guys ready to play, but he was ultra aggressive. And so his play calling is kind of what stands out to me, given the fact that they have only a few days now to get ready for Oakland. So they left it all out there, and I loved what they did on the road.
Well, and it was quite the game for Alex Smith. I thought he played a fantastic game. What were your thoughts on his ability to move the ball around the field the way he was?
It was just really efficient. That was kind of the Alex that everyone, you know, fell in love with when he's doing good things. I had a lot of people on Twitter saying our Alex is back and things like that. Obviously my first year covering the team, but you know, that was one of the most complete performances he's had, at least this season. And he threw the ball deep from the start, you know, getting Travis Kelce involved early and then going back to him. Too many times this year they've thrown to Kelce, and then all of a sudden he just disappears for two quarters. But they kept it consistent. He had a great game, and I just thought Alex was distributing the ball really well, which means when Jeremy Maclin gets back, this offense finally might start rolling, and then they're really dangerous.
Well, Chiefs Kingdom, we know how much you love football, but are you ready to get into the action a little bit deeper? If you want to, check out BetDSI.com. They've been in business over 20 years, and they are top-rated in their field. They're safe, and a bunch of people you know play there. BetDSI's got a great football special right now. Sign up today, and you can get $10 free just to try their service. And the better offer is that BetDSI is going to give you 100% bonus on your first deposit.
Not only do you get a 100% bonus on your first deposit, they have great customer service. They have hundreds of football and basketball wagers to choose from. Also, you get UFC, so there are lots of different sports you can go bet on at BetDSI. BetDSI even has live in-game wagering on all football, basketball, and other major sporting events. You can play virtually everything at BetDSI. Go to BetDSI.com now. That's BetDSI.com. Go there now and use promotion code Chiefs10, get your free wager and start winning today.
So, given, I don't know how much inside opinion you want to share or what your feeling is, What is the thing that stands out? Do you think they can sustain this? You think this is a one-time game plan?
I think they can sustain it. I think a lot of it just has to do with situational, you know, play calling, but at the same time, with the way their defense is and the way they're so opportunistic and they get the takeaways, they have to, you know, take some risks on offense. And I think Andy, for a long time, didn't want to do it. He was like, I'm just going to let my defense win games. I'm going to play it conservative. But what he's realizing against teams like Atlanta, when you have to score points, when you open up the playbook, good things do happen. He has good players that make the right decision. So I think if anything, it can sustain itself because I think there's a little more confidence in the offense on Andy Reid's side than maybe before. So maybe opening up the playbook against Atlanta, who's, you know, not great on defense, was the best thing that happened to the Chiefs. That's really optimistic, though. I don't know. I think the Raiders game will tell us a lot, especially in those conditions, because it's going to be a tough one in single digits conditions.
Well, and I understand what you're saying about Reid opening it up, and I did think he did that. But anytime you have a QB going 21 for 25, 270 yards, that's, you know, you're going to be in a good position to win that game, unless he's throwing five picks, and that's not Alex Smith either. So, you know, and honestly, Smith had a couple of balls that were just dropped. I mean, he had a perfect deep ball to Conley that hit him as he was going out of bounds, and Conley dropped
it. Don't talk about that one.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Chris Conley's a great dude. He really is, but he doesn't get a lot of opportunities, so I felt bad for him that, you know, the one big play he could have had, he dropped it. But Alex has dealt with that kind of all year. The tight ends have dropped a lot of balls on him, too.
Well,
you guys laugh. You know it's true.
Well, and, you know, Alex probably should have had two touchdowns because that first pass to Kelsey down the sideline, if Kelsey doesn't bobble that, he's in the end zone really
well
easy.
The Spencer Ware throw, too. He had him. I mean, that was a touchdown.
Well, yeah.
When he was in the flat, I mean, that would have changed the game. They wouldn't have needed a pick two to win it if Ware gets to that ball.
Absolutely, and I think that Spencer Ware slowed up just a little bit and that threw off timing, but – you know, I said yesterday he needs to put a little bit more air under that ball. And you know Alex was kicking himself because that, from what I saw, I didn't see the entire field, obviously, but from what I saw, there was nobody that was even close to him.
Right, right. Can I give you guys a little insight about Alex Smith and his arm real quick? I don't know if anyone's ever talked about this.
Please.
So
please.
In training camp, they do this drill. And the thing about the Chiefs is you can shoot video for about 10 minutes, and then they do drills, and you have to sit down, and you can't shoot anything because Andy Reid is really particular about what the media sees. But there's this drill that they do at when our cameras can't roll. It's quarterbacks, and they throw at the field goal post, the crossbar. And I don't know if you've ever seen quarterbacks do this drill. It's really common for, you know, high school players and stuff like that. But so it was like Tyler Bray, Alex Smith, and all those guys out there. Nick Foles, he had already been with the team. And they start at the 10, and they go for the crossbar. They each throw it, you know, at the 10-yard line. They'll throw it at the crossbar three times. Then they'll back up to the 20. Then they'll back up to the 30. I will say, for the people that say Alex Smith doesn't have an arm, in this drill, that is proven. Because he would have to put so much air under the ball from 30, 35, 40 yards out when the other guys were getting out of line on bullets. But he was also hitting the post more than anyone else. So it literally proves what we all know about Alex Smith, that he doesn't necessarily have the arm, but he is more accurate. So it's kind of interesting to see that come alive in a drill. You felt bad at times, though, when he was getting back there and you have to throw as hard as he could and he'd fall short of the field goal post, no joke. But that's just who he is as a quarterback, so he has to be accurate to be successful.
And you see that a little bit on the field, too. I think he's overcompensating fairly often when you see him overthrow Wilson and Ty Hill a couple times, too. And I think really if they continue this aggressive look in the intermediate area, I think it just plays to his strengths and is something that he can succeed at and really take this team a step farther than they have been before.
Right, exactly. Julio Jones was killing the Chiefs defense in the intermediate area that first drive and throughout the game. So you don't have to go deep to be successful. The one thing I will say, it's a little disappointing when you have Tyreek Hill, who basically could get Randy Moss treatment where you let him run straight about 15 times a game and throw the ball up and see if he'll get it. Unfortunately, you can't do that with Alex Smith. I think that's one thing where Tyreek would have a better chance with a quarterback with an arm. But I'm not saying Alex isn't the dude. I'm just saying there are limitations. So
you're saying we need a four-play package for Nick Foles.
Pretty much. And yeah, when he comes in, let Tyreek run and just sling it, man. Who cares?
But even Nick Foles has an arm that Tyreek Hill can outrun. I mean, that showed in the Indy game.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. I mean, it doesn't matter. As long as you can throw it 50 yards plus, just throw it up and see if Hill's going to get it. So
that means it's Wolfman time. We need Tyler Bray.
Oh, gosh. Tyler Bray. Not to get sidetracked. My bad.
Not a problem at all. One thing I do like about Tyreek Hill and Alex Smith is you don't have to have 4 seconds in the pocket to make a deep throw to him, especially right. with Smith, with his inability to, as you said, throw it deep without getting a lot of air on it. He can take 3 steps back, 4 steps back, and still heave the ball as far as he can, and Hill can run under it. Mm-hmm. That's huge that is, for that this is offense. Big.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I mean, I guess Hill's the guy to have in a situation like that. So you'd like to see it a little bit more, though. Don't you guys feel like they just haven't done that enough? I mean, Tyreek Hill is so quick. I don't even know how else to put it, but, like, you just got to let him go a few times, even if it doesn't work. I feel like every time it doesn't work, they just don't do it again.
I honestly, the thing that I want to see them do is earlier in the season when they run a lot of those deeper crosses where especially Conley was able to get loose across the middle, you get Hill on that and you hit him at a deep crosser, that's going to be a punt return waiting to happen.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's a really good point. That's a good point. How about a few of those against Oakland? That'd be fun.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
I'll take about five.
We're not getting too greedy here.
Well, the other good thing is...
Oh, no, I'm getting greedy. It's Oakland.
Yeah, and I already, go ahead.
And man. I can't hear any... I mean, I keep hearing it from Oakland fans how good Dude. Oakland is. I just want to... Yeah,
Chris, I feel you, man. I'm new to this, so, like, I'm just kind of getting my name out there on the social media webs as far as Chiefs stuff, but, like... More so than anyone else, those Raiders guys are in my mentions nonstop. I'm like, come on. You guys just are searching stuff on Twitter. That's all they do.
There's really good interweb in Oakland.
That's what I'm learning, man. That's what I'm learning. I'm also learning.
Just wait till they move to Vegas.
The interwebs are bad in Kansas City when you decide to give facts about the game. And if they think you're jinxing the game, watch out. I learned that.
Yeah, your stat reviews, you want to tread a little bit lightly on that stuff. So they got one piece of good news today, a light walkthrough practice that Jeremy Maclin was actually able to participate in. I know Chris and I kind of have this little theory that maybe they were holding him out against Atlanta to begin with. What's your take?
That's my theory, too. I actually was talking about that this morning. I don't know if they're holding him out as much as if he wasn't, you know, 100% or if there was any doubt, then you might as well just wait because there are these two games in such a short time frame. But he's been practicing. I saw him physically running around there and smiling and having a good time. He's just been somewhat limited. So I think they were eyeing this game on the schedule for him to come back. I agree.
Now, what do you think about the way that Houston has come back? And you see, you look at the snap counts and D Ford didn't play hardly at all. I mean, 26 snaps. He was out there a third of the time. Do you think that was also designed to kind of keep him fresh and try to get him healthier for the Oakland game?
I think so. I think everything is calculated this time of the year, especially with so much on the line for the Chiefs. I think really Sutton, his crew, Reed, I don't know how much he has to say with the defense, but as far as snap counts and when guys play, a lot of that has to do with how players are feeling and then what coaches are going to do with what they're told. I mean, every guy is going to say they want to go out there, but I think they are playing a little conservative. But I don't know. That Atlanta game was so big. You would think that if he could have played more, he would have. But, you know, if a guy's – everyone's 75% at this point in the year, right? So I think you're just playing every situation as smart as you possibly can. We'll see how many snaps Ford plays. I would assume he'd play more on Thursday night than he did against Atlanta.
Well, and I just got to say real quick, that's so huge to me to see – and that's really what I saw. I think that they were really trying to rotate guys on the defensive line as well and try to keep people fresh because they did not have their starters in most of the game. But to see them go at that game and still come out with a victory says a lot about the Chiefs.
Right. Well, that Tampa Bay game doesn't look as bad anymore either, right? I mean, Tampa Bay is one of the hottest teams in the NFL. So really, the Chiefs have had a really tough schedule since that 6-week stretch we all know is pretty weak. Ever since the Denver game and moving forward, they've had a really tough schedule and so far so good. So it obviously doesn't get any easier Thursday, but I think that says a lot about how this team is able to pull out victories against some of the top line opponents.
Well, and I read as well that they're pretty focused on this game in particular. And evidently after the night that he had, Barry was watching film on the plane back. So I think they're ready for it mentally. Having that extra win earlier in the season, that's something that I always put a lot of head to head quality into my predictions. And I still think they have this team's number. What do you think the hiccup might be?
It's kind of weird to say this considering the Chiefs ran all over the Raiders in the first game and that's how they won. But I think the run defense might potentially be the hiccup. The Chiefs have let up a lot of chunk yards on the ground, and obviously they've been great in the red zone and very opportunistic with their takeaways. But in a cold game, this game might be won at the line. And for anyone that thinks that, you know, the Oakland line is weak, that's just not the case. So if there's a hiccup, it's going to be that they just get out-battled at the line, and they're just not able to score or air it out enough on offense because of how cold it is. I say that and then watch. It's going to be like a 45-38 game or something like that, regardless of the temperatures. But going into it, I think this game is won and lost at the line.
I personally like 45-14 Kansas City, but that's me. I'm not trying to be biased.
You're so subtle.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, possible. Hey, the Chiefs have had some great – I know everyone, the Sunday night football record's not the best since they've played on NBC, but – some Monday night games, I don't know how Thursday comes in the equation, but they've had some really good performances on national television, especially at home.
Well, and that's the key to me is, you know, you look at what they did to New England a couple years ago. They just destroyed them. And, you know, I'm not one to make a lot of thoughts into the color rush uniforms that they're going to be wearing, and they're going to be wearing all red. But I do think that it does say something that, you know, they get a little bit more into the game, it looks like, to me at least. And I think they're 4-1 under Reed in that. And the only one that they lost was the time that they played Denver in Kansas City. And
oh, and they should have won.
Yeah, well, when you turn the ball over 5 times, I mean,
yeah,
good luck winning a game. So
yeah, so what you're saying is red on red means they're going to win. That's what I heard.
I just like Kansas City's chances this week, regardless, because of the fact that they already won once. Derek Carr is one in four against Kansas City in his career, so he has not done very well against Kansas City. And you look at what Kansas City did on defense to them in the first game, and they came out and they put up what 10 points in the first half, and you're thinking, okay, this could have been a lot worse. They're going to put up, you know, 20 points in the second half. And then they come out and didn't score any. So I think that's a huge thing. And I think that Kansas City really is going to be up for this game, and their defense is going to be ready.
Yeah, I agree. And also, Derek Carr is going to be tested. This might be the toughest environment he's ever played a football game in. I would have to go back and look at all the games he's played, obviously. But there aren't many that are going to be like a Thursday night national showcase in Arrowhead that he's had to deal with in his young career so far. So he might get rattled. I think it would be huge in the first quarter if, you know, he throws an interception or maybe a fumble from a Houston sack. I know I'm putting images in your guys' head you would love to see. But if those things do happen, watch out. Maybe it is a blowout.
I see that as a tough call. I honestly, when I think about this, the closer it gets, the closer I think this game's going to be. I'm having trouble getting away from it. But
you know, I said earlier in the year, you can ask Ryan, I thought the Raiders were going to be a good team. I didn't think they'd be as good as they are. I think they've gotten some lucky bounces in certain situations, and their coach has shown that he's going to be more aggressive than most coaches in a lot of situations, which has really helped them. But
what's their
I'm still waiting.
Been like? I haven't. It's not to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
We just had our first flub together. Oh, that was my fault.
What a duo!
Ryan's loving this.
Well, no, I think their schedule has been, I mean, it's been okay. It hasn't been necessarily as hard as Denver's has been or Kansas City's has been. But, you know, they've played some good teams, but, you know, they're losing more at home than they are on the road. They haven't lost on the road yet this year, so that's a little concerning. But, again, I go back to, you know, they probably should have lost to New Orleans. They probably should have lost a couple other games where, you know, most coaches don't go for that situation, and he put the faith in the team. One of these times, that's going to end up coming up to bite him in the butt.
Right, and not to be devil's advocate, but aren't there like 4 games we can list that the Chiefs could have potentially lost or probably should have lost, which makes me think these teams are very similar in a way. Both with the potential to go very far, but at times they kind of scare the crap out of you.
Yeah, I think we both had them 1-2 to start the season when we were talking in training camp. And we said that, you know, this is going to hinge on a couple of injuries maybe. And I think that's the way it's going to continue to play out. So, I mean, we're talking, it's Monday night when we're recording this, folks. And I know you're listening on Tuesday. We're not too far away. So let's talk about what the outcome you think is going to be. Chris?
I think Kansas City wins. You know, I'd like to give it a better score. I'm going to go 24-17 Kansas City.
The more I think about it, I really think in the first quarter, there's going to be a momentous turnover by the Chiefs in front of this crowd at Arrowhead. And I'm going to say the Chiefs win 29-13.
Wow. Big margin. I'm the total opposite. I had this game 28-27 Chiefs in a freeze bowl that somebody's going to have to pass their way out of.
Yeah, mine was strictly off of national television. Chiefs are just going to come out and play out of their minds, knowing that everything's on the line. And a few turnovers, a few touchdowns on offense, and there you go.
I think the bulk of Chiefs Kingdom is with you.
I don't know why I think that, but we're just going to stick with it, and now I have to roll with it for the next 3 days. So we'll see.
And we're going to hold you to that, so we appreciate that. Thank you for going out on a limb.
You're welcome.
So you guys heard it here first. Andrew, thank you again for coming on. You were from KCTV5. You want to tell the folks a little bit more about you and how to find you on Twitter?
Yeah, it's Andrew_Carter. The reason being there are a lot of Andrew Carters out there. And actually, there's a University of North Carolina beat reporter. His name's Andrew Carter as well. I think he stole my one underscore. But I got two. I'm originally from the Chicago area, so grew up in a pro town. I love Kansas City as a pro sports town. Everyone here is great. Came from the Tulsa market for 3 years up here in Kansas City for the first year, and I'm loving every single bit of it. So let's see how far this Chiefs season can ride.
Folks, check them out on KCTV, and thank you for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review. And reach out to us on Twitter @RyanTreseyNFL and @ChrisClarkNFL. We'll talk to you next time.